18, and we're going to look at the first 8 verses. We're going to be looking at faith in the last days, I guess you could call it. This is actually a parable that the Lord gave because he's trying to teach us something, not only to the disciples and those that were listening, but for us as well. It's the parable or the story of the persistent widow. Look at the first 8 verses. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So this parable for us is to show us the importance of faith in the Lord to the extent we continue to pray, knowing that he will answer and that he has a purpose, he has a plan, and we're not going to give up. We're going to continue to pray. I know when difficult times come, things happen, you don't understand why they happened or how it had to be like that, and you ask the Lord why, you question the Lord, and it seems like God doesn't care. It seems like he's not answering your prayers, and you become upset. And at times, we, so to speak, lose our faith in God. It's not that we as believers can lose our salvation, because we're not. We have a home in heaven. And because we've passed, as the Bible says, from death unto life, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But we can lose our faith, not in the sense of our salvation, but in the sense of our confidence in God. And that's what we need to be careful about. And we aren't alone by any means in those feelings when difficult times come. And we'll look quickly as we can at 3 of those. Just for example, if you look to the book of Job, we want to look in Job chapter 30. We know what Job has gone through, and we know the difficulties he's facing, and he's praying. He doesn't know what the Lord's doing. He doesn't know anything about the devil appearing to the Lord. But in Job 30 and verse 20, he said, I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. It's like, Lord, you're not listening. All right, turn over to Psalms, and we have David, who at times felt the same way. Psalm 10. Psalm 10 and verse 1, David says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? In other words, I don't understand what you're doing. Why aren't you helping? What's going on? All right, now look farther over to Lamentations. Ezekiel, Daniel. Right after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 8. Okay, Jeremiah is saying, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. So we can see from Scripture that we're not the only ones that come to places where we don't know what's going on, we don't understand. It's like God's not answering our prayers, we're having difficulty, and you can easily, if you're not cautious and not careful, lose your confidence in God. And that can bring quite devastating results. And that is why some Christians, as Paul said, suffer shipwreck. And he speaks about that in 1 Timothy. They don't have anything anymore to do often with the church. They stay home. They don't seek to live for the Lord. They're no longer a good soldier for the Lord. They don't hold the truths of the Scripture. They feel like God has failed them. And they lose their faith, their confidence in God. I'll just read this verse, 1 Timothy 1:19. Paul said to Timothy, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And that's what happens when we lose our confidence in God and our faith wavers. Now, really, as we can see from Scripture, and we'll look at some of these passages, during the days before the Lord returns, we're going to find that our faith is going to be stretched. Things are not going to get easier. They're going to get more difficult. I always think of, when I think about our faith getting stretched or what we're going through getting stretched, it's like one of these big rubber bands and you're pulling and you think, okay, it's going to break. That's it. I can't do any more. And the Lord said, no, you can do more. Let's stretch it some more. And sometimes we think, I don't think I can stretch anymore. But the Lord knows how far we can stretch without breaking. And we can trust Him in that one. If you look there back in Luke 18 again, I probably should have kept your place there, sorry. We want to just quickly look at some things in regard to this about faith. And chapter 18 in verse 8 says there halfway through the verse, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, this is the kind of faith the Lord Jesus is talking of. It's a faith in a difficult situation. The widow was in a difficult situation, but she was determined and she kept on. And what the Lord is saying here, we need to keep on in difficult times, especially. And especially toward the end of the age, the end of when we know the rapture's around the corner, so to speak. We know we're not going to go through the tribulation, but it's like we see shadows of that and things that are building up, and we know that that is coming, and we don't know when, but we know it's coming. And we need to ask the Lord to help us with our faith. Matthew 24 and verse 10, if you want to flick back, if you can flick back fast enough. 24 and verse 10. "Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Here Jesus, if you read the passage, is speaking of the end times that the disciples ask him about. What's going to happen? What's going to go on at the end? And not realizing that what the Lord told them was not going to happen in their lifetime. The Lord was speaking further on. It's interesting, the word offend, where you've got many will be offended, in the Greek has the idea of tripping someone up or causing them to stumble, or in the sensations that temptations are so great. Temptations so great that what? One betrays another and one hates another, generally to protect themselves or their own safety. Not something nice to contemplate. And we know that during the tribulation, there's definitely going to be times when people will turn someone in or will betray one another because they're afraid for themselves. But before the rapture, our faith is going to be stretched as well. And no doubt already some of you are probably experiencing some of those things with trials and tribulations and what's going on. It's interesting, I was thinking about this today, and I was thinking about Noah, and the Lord told him to build the boat, and he started building. But how long was it before the flood came? The Lord said, a flood's coming, but how long was it? It was 100 years, you know, and we know the rapture's coming. We know things are happening, but we have no idea the timeline, and we can only trust the Lord in that. If you want to turn to 1 Timothy, we'll look at a few verses there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Okay. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. So what's he saying here? He's reminding Timothy to remind the saved of the things that are going to happen, of the things that are going to happen, and we need to be aware when it happens and work to protect ourselves from doing the wrong thing. Now, if you turn over to chapter 6, and in verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Work on it. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto they are also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. So he's saying here, fight the good fight of faith, and don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't cast it away. Don't be a castaway. Don't be a shipwreck. But stick close to the Lord. And you know the verse in Hebrews 12 and verse 3, for consider him, the Lord, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. We know how he was treated. He said, consider him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So when you're having a hard time, who are you supposed to focus on? The Lord, and what the Lord went through. And that helps us realize we're not as bad off as we think we are a lot of times. Thankfully, we're not going to go through the tribulation, but we are going to have some of those shadows and things happening to prepare for the tribulation, and it's going to put stress on our faith. So we pray about certain things. We seem to get no answer, but we're not alone, as we looked in the Old Testament. And there's so much we don't understand about God, so much we don't understand about his workings and the things that he does. What did Isaiah the prophet say? His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And I read a quote I thought was so good. God can be completely trusted, but he cannot be completely understood. And I remember saying to kids in RI with questions they've asked, and saying, if we could understand God, he wouldn't be God. He would be like one of us. And so we accept the fact that we can't understand. And we say, okay, Lord, I want to trust you. Whatever's going on, I don't understand what's happening or why it's happening, but I'm trusting you. I'll just read these verses. Romans 11:33, Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Goes along with Isaiah. And Paul realized he couldn't understand God, but no matter what happened, he would trust him. And whatever he did was worth any struggles he went through. And he tells us that in Romans 8:18. For he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So there is a time coming for the believer, looking at what we have done on this earth, and going through what we've gone through as a fallen creature. And we try to do what is right. We want to follow the Lord. And Paul said that you can't compare it, this life, to what it's going to be like with the Lord. So what we've gone through on earth will seem like nothing compared to what awaits for us in heaven. The Lord will make sure of that for us. And our faith is very valuable to God, very important. Knowing the time we live in, close to his return, we're going to be struggles. We're going to be more things we have to be aware of, prepared for tests, for trials, for difficulties that come our way. But we need to seek a stronger faith. Ask the Lord to give us more grace, more strength. Again, you've turned in 2 Timothy, if you want to just turn over a couple of pages, chapter 3. And verse 13, Paul tells us that there will be an increase of wickedness before the Lord returns. And there will be deception and being deceived. Verse 13, for evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we have to be very much aware that we can be deceived as well. And we need to be in prayer more. We need to be trusting more. We need to be in our word, the word more. Because if we know what the word says and someone tries to deceive us, we have the answer because we know what the scripture tells us. Now, going back to the widow there in Luke 18, it appears that the judge is obviously very indifferent at the first, isn't he? He's not going to help her. But by verse 5, he was tired of her appeals. And because he was so tired of it, he did what she asked because she kept coming back. What was this parable to teach us? It said to not to faint, not to be discouraged, but to persevere in prayer and in faith. If we compared God with the judge, we can see the difference. Because in verse 7 of Luke 18, it says, "And God said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? The elect are the true followers of God." And it's interestingly enough, it's in Greek, it's a term of affection and love. All right. "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, though he's stretching their faith, though he's helping them grow through that faith?" Because God's not unjust. The judge was. He was a wicked judge. But God is good. He wants to do justice. He wants to show mercy. So if the wicked judge, by the widow's perseverance, was induced to do justice, how much more is God? How much more shall God, who is good, avenge us and do justice for us? Now, I realize it may not be in this life, but ultimately it will be done. And God will judge and he will deal with those who have done the wrong thing. Because the Lord honors those who pray in faith without ceasing. It's trying of our faith in difficult times that's going to produce spiritual growth in our lives too. And that's why the Lord lets the rubber band stretch, so that we can stretch with it and our faith can be strengthened. Now, I think obviously we're all limited in our understanding of what God is doing. And Job realized this in Job 36 and verse 26. He said, "Behold, God is great and we know him not." We know he's great, but we don't understand him. We don't know why he does the things that he does. So the most valuable thing a believer can show to God is our faith, our trust in him, and a strong faith. And we all need help with that. And we know that the disciples knew they needed it too. Because if you're there in Luke, you're close. Luke 17, he said the disciples spoke to the Lord and they said, "Increase our faith." Luke 17 in verse 5. "The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine or sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." And we read that, and I'm sure we all have, and we thought, man, I don't have any faith. Grain of mustard seed, we know how tiny that grain of mustard seed is. And obviously we do lack the faith of Abraham, who waited all those years trusting God to give him a son, even when his wife could not bear children normally because she was past the age of childbearing, he waited. And I think of Job with all that happened to him, his family, everything he had. And what did he say? "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Could we do that? Or do we say, "Why, Lord, why? I don't deserve this," you know? Not Job, because we need to remember that. One of the verses in Job that has helped me a lot, and I have it memorized, of course, it's Job 13:15. It's only short. It says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Well, consider the martyrs. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." God allowed them to die. The martyrs were faithful. They trusted God in the worst situations. They held on firmly, even to death, to their faith in a righteous God. They walked through valleys. They walked through hardships. They had so many terrible things happen to them, to their family. And we have to go through some valleys too, or our faith is not going to be strong either. Their faith was strong because they'd been through those valleys. We don't like them, but they're needful. They help us to be more like the Lord. Look what all he went through. When the Lord talks about faith as the grain of mustard seed, I think you'll find that that faith doesn't have so much to do with the size of the mustard seed, but the object of the faith. Where's our focus? It's on the Lord. Our faith is in him. That's why I put up that saying, strong faith in a weak plank will dump you in the creek. A weak faith in a strong plank will take you safely across. We, for the most part, have a weak faith, but we have the Lord, a strong Savior. And when we look at that, we think of what the Lord has done, we say, yes, Lord, I can put my faith in you. And our faith, that may seem to us very weak, but when we place it in the Lord, he rewards us. And we can see answers to prayer, things we didn't understand, he makes clear. Sometimes we have to wait a long time for that, but we know the Lord is going to help us and the Lord is going to work. And, you know, really in ourselves, we're not up to the trials that we face. A lot of, unbelievers, we see us going through maybe something really difficult and they say, how can you cope with that? How can you handle that? And we have to say, it's the Lord. It's not me. Because maybe we aren't up to the trials we face even as the martyrs. Really weren't up to the trials as well. Except for the fact, like Moses in Hebrews, the Bible says he saw him who was invisible and feared not the king of Egypt. And you think of that, but you think of Moses when burning bush, every excuse he could think of, no, I can't speak, oh no, get someone else, I can't do this, that's too, you know, sounds like us, doesn't it, sometimes when the Lord asks us to do something. And all of those things at the burning bush, and yet God did a work in Moses to where he didn't even fear the king of Egypt. Walked into that palace and said, let my people go. God says, let my people go. And he never, ever showed fear in front of Pharaoh. And that's because what was he doing? He was putting his trust in the invisible God. He knew where the power came from. So God did a work in Moses from the burning bush till he got to Egypt. He can do a work in us. He's going to start now because he's got some heavy things for you. There's some kings of Egypt out there you're going to have to face. Sorry, guys, but it does happen. And we think, oh, I'm just going to sail through on flowery beds of ease, but it doesn't work that way. So we can put our faith in the Lord just like Moses, and we don't have to fear about those unknown things that are ahead that we're going to have to be faced with. All right, looking again at the widow, in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 8, I just look at what he says in that verse in halfway through. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith? What kind of faith does Jesus desire? And I'll put this up here. A faith he wants is a faith that trusts God in the dark. When we don't know what's ahead, when we don't know what's going on, we trust him anyway. And he wants us to trust him, have a faith that looks beyond circumstances. Okay? And a faith like the mustard seed, which starts out very small, which ultimately is deep-rooted. If I can get that right, deep-rooted. And unmovable. You ever try to move a big, great big tree? Can't pick them up and move them, can you? So we start small with our faith. It's a very small start, maybe. But our focus is on the Lord. Our focus is on the strength that He has for us. And that's what makes the difference. God wants us to trust Him in areas that to us might seem even impossible, but things that need to be done. Because He's stretching our faith again, like that rubber band. He's pulling at us. Faith, regardless of size, if it focuses on an almighty God, will have answers. When Jesus spoke to the disciples in Matthew, if you want to turn back there, Matthew chapter 14, Peter, as you remember, was walking on the water out of the boat because Jesus was walking on the water in Matthew 14. And in verse 31, we know that he began, have I got the right place, Matthew 14? Yeah. And that in verse 30, because the wind was boisterous, Peter was afraid, he looked at the water, he saw what was happening, and he began to sink. And the Bible says in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now faith, Peter's faith, was what we might say immature. It was immature because it lacked the complete confidence in Jesus. He saw the circumstances around him. He saw what was happening around him, and his faith failed. If he had kept his eyes on the Lord and disregarded the circumstances around us, he would have been fine. But that's what we often do. We lack that confidence in the Lord, and we falter, just like he did. He looked at the circumstances, and we often do the same. And our faith is going to falter if we're not focusing on the Lord. And we're going to have to keep putting our focus back on Him. Okay, in considering our trials, there's a passage in 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7, I can read that to you, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, tests, that the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, God's going to test your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And sometimes the things we go through, it's like being burnt, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what was Peter saying to the Christians? We're saying, your faith is going to be tested. There's no way around it. But your faith is a much more important and valuable process. That process of testing your faith is much more valuable, what it says, and important than the testing of gold in the fire. So our faith is going to be tested. And we know when gold is put in the fire, it's purified and the dross is taken off. So the fire we go through, the tests that we go through, are made to purify us, made to make us what we should be, make us to be more like the Lord Jesus. Now, I think we all know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. So when we become a Christian, that's where faith begins. Faith begins at our salvation as we put our faith in Him. And then we know as well when we enter the life by faith. And then Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, and I'll read this one, 4, 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. In other words, Paul's ready to exit this life. And he's saying, we've started in faith and salvation, we're ending in faith at death. And what does Romans 1, 7 and Habakkuk 2, 4 say? Romans 1, 17, the just shall live by faith. So what have you got? You've got, you're saved by faith, you live by faith, and you should die by faith. So faith is there all the time. Now, certainly there's going to be challenges. It's not always going to be easy. And so Peter also said, don't be surprised what happens. In 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to be put through certain types of testing, trials, to stretch us. Hebrews 6:11-6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So that the highest form of worship we can have toward God is our faith. And that's trusting God no matter what. At all odds, we're going to trust the Lord. Okay, let's think again about that widow, that persistent widow. And we know that Jesus is not indifferent. He's not unkind as the judge. He may seem that way sometimes from our perspective, from the things that we're praying for and the things that we want, but he's not unkind. He's not indifferent. But Jesus wants us to have a faith that looks beyond our circumstances, beyond the trials we're going through to him, to focus on him, even as Moses saw him who was invisible and feared not the king of Egypt. And we don't have to fear the future if we're focusing on the Lord. Now, if we need to picture ourselves possibly as the widow who persists in her faith and her prayer, as she did to the unrighteous judge, but we should persist in faith and fear to the Lord, an almighty God, a God that we know what he really is like. He's compassionate, he's kind, he's powerful, and he does answer. It's his time and his way, but he does. And pleasing faith believes that God is who he says he is in spite of what we're going through, in spite of the circumstances that are around us. So we need to focus our faith on him and trust him in those difficult circumstances. And I think the more we know God, the more we see him answer as we have faith and trust and perseverance, the more we trust him. And in 2 Timothy, I guess we can flick back there real quick. 2 Timothy again, Paul is speaking to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The day of judgment. The day when we face the Lord in heaven. What's he saying? I've been in prison. I've suffered. I'm not ashamed. I believe the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. He's able to keep me. He's able to keep me from falling as long as I put my focus on him. I don't have to lose my confidence in God. And I know that one day it's going to be worth it all, as he says there. So when we trust in him in spite of our circumstances, I think of that passage in Habakkuk. And I know you know which one I'm thinking of. If you want to turn back to Habakkuk, or if you just want to, it's near Jonah. Ezekiel down Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Okay? If not, just write it down and read it when you get home. But it's the last part of Habakkuk, chapter 3, and verse 17. And Habakkuk is going through a really difficult time. The nation of Israel is going through a difficult time. And he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Well, how much worse can you get? He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on stringed instruments. So when you're going through a hard time, think about what Habakkuk is saying here. Though there's nothing coming, I have nothing, and everything seems lost, everything seems gone, what am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and know that he's the God of my salvation. And this world is temporary. I often think of way back in the 400s or whatever it was, and I can't remember the man's name, who was before the emperor, and he wanted him to recant and worship idols. And he said, "Or you will be beheaded." And he said, "Are you threatening me with heaven?" And I think, yes, heaven, we can look forward to that. We're not going to go through lots of happy times here, maybe, but we have heaven to look forward to, and that makes a big difference, doesn't it? Have I got time? Yeah. There's another passage of Scripture in John, and it's about the nobleman that came from Capernaum to Cana. We don't have to read that, but in John 4 and chapter 50, the man comes and asks him, "Can you please come to Capernaum? My son is going to die, and I know that you can heal him." And the Lord says to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken and said unto him, and he went his way. So here he comes, thinking, "I'm going to have to get Jesus to come to my son. He may die before Jesus gets there, but I know Jesus can heal him." And Jesus just says, "Go that way, thy son liveth." And he believed. He had faith. The man went his way in faith, knowing God was going to answer that prayer. And we see in the passage, he didn't hurry home, or like us, check out on our phone what's going on. But he went to bed that night somewhere near Cana, because he had to walk and he didn't walk in the dark, at peace. And on the morrow, it tells us his servants met him and they rejoiced because said, "Your son liveth." Remember the nobleman said, "What time did he come good?" "About 1 o'clock." And he said, "That's the time I asked the Lord." And the Lord said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." So this is the type of faith that God honors. And that's the kind of faith that we want to have. And I think we need to realize that God's going to give us increased opportunities to trust him in a very difficult time. Things are not going to get easier. And as his return approaches, they're going to get worse. There will be fewer people that believe. There will be more criticism, all sorts of things. But don't waste the opportunities he gives you. But exercise your faith. Exercise it in a great way to a holy God that you know will answer. A faith that says to the world, "I believe God." And the world around us can see a God that we believe, and they need to trust as well. We want our faith to be a type of faith that makes the unsaved ask questions, so we can say, "It is the Lord." Let's pray. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you're teaching us through your word. And Father, we know, like the disciples, we need you to increase our faith. And we know that means to stretch the rubber band a bit more. And it may not be easy, but we know, Lord, it honors you and you're honored by it. And you will reward us one day for that. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us not to lose faith and confidence in you, even when we don't understand what's going on. And as Job said, "Even if you slay us, we will trust in you." In Jesus' name.